This is Yaron Brook, guest speaking on Dr. Leonard Peikoff's podcast. I'm here to apply Ayn Rand's philosophy of objectivism to your real-life questions. Your real-life questions specifically to current events, including politics, economics, and foreign policy. My answers are posted every other week on Mondays. Leonard will continue to answer questions, but now only on alternate Mondays. You can listen to full episodes on iTunes or listen to single questions or full episodes at www.peikoff.com. If you have a question to ask me, simply go to peikoff.com/questions. All right. So I've got a number of questions on the elections and on some candidates. So let me do a few of those for today's podcast. Let's start with I got a number of questions about Donald Trump and my views on Donald Trump. But let me, before I do that, let me make clear that I'm speaking only for myself, not for anybody else, not for objectivism, not for the Ayn Rand Institute, but this is just Yaron Brook's personal opinion. Donald Trump. So Trump has obviously been very successful. Many within the Republican Party are very supportive of his candidacy. And so let's try to analyze why that is. I think the first reason, and this is really Donald Trump's major virtue, is that he speaks his mind. He tells people what he really thinks. He's not playing politics. He's not trying to manipulate the voters. He really speaks his mind. And I think the American people are hungry for that. They're sick of politicians who say one thing and do something else, where you don't know what they really think, or just trying to placate voters or placate particular interest groups or particular groups of voters. Trump actually seems to say what he thinks off the cuff. He seems in that sense to be honest. So I think that's one reason why Americans like him. The second is he's a self-made individual. We can talk about how he made his money, but he's made money himself as a businessman in real estate. He's proud of that. He doesn't apologize. You know, the Mitt Romneys of the world could learn something from this. He's just out there. He's got money. He's not embarrassed by it. He aggressively makes the point of him being a billionaire and others not, of his success, of his prosperity. And I think that's a virtue up to a point. It's good that Americans are responding positively to that. It's a good sign that they view that as a positive. So I think those are the two virtues, if you will, that Donald Trump brings. He's not a politician. He's not acting like a politician. He is straightforward. He says what he thinks. And he's been a successful businessman. So what are some of the negatives? Well, part of it is that people like him because of certain of his views, which I think are populist, irrational, and are basically there to placate Americans. And you can see this in things like his attitude towards China, blaming everything for China. We cut a bad deal somehow with China. If you understand anything about trade, you know that that is ridiculous. That is absurd. Indeed, the only thing bad about the deal we've struck with China is that we haven't lowered tariffs enough and that we haven't encouraged enough importation of Chinese goods at low prices. So the idea that Chinese are manipulating interest rates or manipulating the currency is all ludicrous given the behavior of our own Federal Reserve and our own manipulation of interest rates and currencies. Every country in the world does it. Every country in the world that has a central bank, by definition, does it. That's what a central bank does. It manipulates the currency and interest rates. But also building a wall on the border is viciousness towards Mexicans and the Mexican government. I mean, that all plays, I think, to much of the xenophobia within the culture. Whatever you think about immigration or illegal immigration into this country, the way he's presenting it is playing to the worst elements, I think, within American society. And then part of this populist economics, if you will, is his view of taxes. He continuously says that the rich don't pay enough taxes, that taxes should go up. He doesn't mind paying more taxes because he's already rich. What difference does it make? He also lashed out at hedge fund managers and the whole issue of carried interest and the fact that they pay too little taxes and carried interest, which, if, again, if you know economics and finance, is an absurd accusation. And if anybody wants to further understand the issue of carried interest, you can ask a question here, a question for the podcast, which I can answer. So from a policy perspective, certainly kind of the economics, domestic policy, I think he's a complete populist. He's a man of the left more than he is of the right. If you talk about his attitude towards ISIS, it's not crush them. It's, you know, dismantle their capacity to get oil, so to their capacity to fund themselves. But that's one source of funding. There are many sources of funding. You have to have a real foreign policy. You have to define it. He clearly is incapable of doing that. Even with Iran, his view of Iran is not the deal. You know, I would go after Iran. I would destroy the regime or incapacitate their nuclear program. His attitude towards Iran is, I could cut a better deal. There is, as I've said many times on this podcast and in other places, you cannot cut a deal with an evil regime. Deals with evil don't work and can't work. So overall, my view of Donald Trump is negative. He's certainly raised the entertainment value, I guess, of the primaries. Also, just the way he treats women, the things he said about Cauley Fiorina, the things he said about other candidates, Ben Carson and others, it's just silly. It's just, you know, ridiculous. So I can't really, I can't really take him seriously as a political candidate, and I certainly would not want him to be president of the United States, although, of course, it's not like the other candidates are that appealing. So the second candidate I got a lot of questions on was basically Bernie Sanders, and the idea is, how bad is Bernie, and what would happen to the country if Bernie was elected? Is he even worse than Obama in the sense that he calls himself a socialist? Now, Bernie Sanders calls himself a democratic socialist, a social democrat, or whatever you call it, which many in Western Europe call themselves, and which really much of the left is, whether they acknowledge the term socialist or not. So I don't know how much worse he is than the rest, but he is explicit about it, so we can actually evaluate exactly his positions. He's explicit about his policies. He would dramatically raise taxes on the wealthy. He would raise taxes on financial transactions. He would increase redistribution. We would have single payer under Bernie Sanders. That is a complete socialization of medicine. Obamacare, he would eliminate Obamacare and basically put everybody under Medicare. He would expand Social Security to subsidize ever greater number of Americans with ever greater quantity of funds. So Bernie Sanders clearly is much more radical leftist in terms of his explicit beliefs and explicit positions. Whether he could get any of that past Congress, who knows. But a Bernie Sanders presidency would be a disaster, not so much because of what he would do as president, although that would be bad enough, but because of what it would say about America. It would really be a turning point, maybe even the tipping point for the end of America as it has always been. For America to vote for somebody like Bernie Sanders, to embrace the agenda of socialism, even if it's so-called moderate form of socialism, it would be horrific. Would be horrific. In other words, it would be a third Obama term, but Obama unleashed, Obama allowed to do really whatever he wants to do without any attempt to disguise his program, which Obama has for the most part done and most Democrats tend to do. They tend to disguise what they actually believe in and what they actually think. Bernie doesn't. So if America's really interested and willing and able to elect Bernie Sanders to president, then America is not the America I know. And it really, in many respects, we have moved into a new phase and America is committing suicide and it's the tipping point. So Bernie Sanders' presidency, even Bernie Sanders as a Democratic nominee, would be a major, major disaster for the country because it would mean the Democratic Party, one of the two major parties in the United States, has moved even more dramatically to the left than anybody could have imagined in the past. And the fact that Bernie Sanders is so successful should scare everybody out there. Okay, here's another question about the political landscape, specifically about the Republican Party. And it's the question of, do I think that the Republican Party should present itself as the party of Uber and iPhones? Would this be an effective way to garner votes of the youth? Yeah, absolutely. I think the Republican Party should embrace technology, should embrace, and this is for many reasons. Yes, politically, that could, you know, encourage young people to look at the Republican Party and to vote for the Republican Party. But more than that, embracing technology is embracing the mind, particularly if they identified it. It's embracing innovation and entrepreneurship. It's embracing freedom. Technology companies are the freest companies in the economy. That's why they innovate. And Uber is also a particular company that proves the fact that we don't need regulation. Maybe this is an in to the dismantling or the beginning of the dismantling of the regulatory state. So they could really build on a campaign that embraced technology, that came out with technology as part of the explanation against the regulatory state, a campaign that embraced innovation and entrepreneurship and really excited people and got people motivated about a positive message. Too much of the Republican message is and has always been a negative message, an anti-democratic message, an anti-Obamacare message. Instead of embracing a positive, pro-American, pro-capitalist, pro-markets, pro-innovation, pro-technology message. And I think if one of these candidates wants to win, I think the best way to win is to turn positive. I think that's how Ronald Reagan was so good at campaigning and ultimately winning elections, is he could project a positive vision of America. He could project what his victory would mean for America in a positive way, not just as an attack dog. So advice to the Republican candidates, turn positive, project a vision. It's vision. It's about what you think about America in fundamental terms. That's what will lead to victory. And a continuation of this question is what I think about Rand Paul. And look, Rand Paul has very good policies on domestic policy. He leads on the issues around the NSA. He is a leader when it comes to cutting government spending and deregulating just generally kind of domestic policies. I worry about Rand Paul in foreign policy. I worry about Rand Paul when it comes to religious issues. But when it comes to economic issues domestically, he's probably the best guy on the stage. And then the question is, does he have a chance to win? I happen to think he does not have a chance to win. He's not one of the candidates who's able to win. And I do worry, just like I did with his father, about his real foreign policy views, not the ones he's saying during the election, but what he really thinks.
If you want to know more about Ayn Rand's philosophy, I invite you to ask me a question. I can't answer them all, but I do read them all. Just write to leonard@peekoff.com. And if you haven't already done so, start by reading Ayn Rand's two most important novels, The Fountainhead and Atlas Shrugged. And I might add that it wouldn't hurt you to read my latest book, The Dim Hypothesis.